Hello, and welcome to this episode of Passionate About People. I'm Phil Dave, a broadcaster who mainly specializes in broadcasting about men's mental health and well-being, as well as technology. As ever, Graham Godfrey is also here. Graham, remind the listener what it is that you do.
Hi, Phil. I'm a life and business coach, although some people refer to me as a motivational coach or mindset coach, so probably all of the above. And I spend my time talking to clients and helping them find their passion and find their way in life.
Excellent stuff. Now, we are honoured to be joined by Ben Morrison on this edition of Passionate About People. So, Ben, welcome. And if you'd be so kind as to tell the listener what it is that you do, sir.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm honoured to be here. My name is Ben Morrison. I am a fundraising consultant, so I help charities improve their fundraising. I help philanthropists in their charitable giving and anything to do with fundraising and raising more money. That's what I do. So it's great to be here.
Now, in a nutshell, the idea behind this episode is we're going to be looking at how to deal with micro knocks and building resilience. What does that mean, I hear you ask? Well, that's a very, very good question. I'm pleased you asked it. So let's first and foremost look at what is a micro knock.
Well, for me, Phil, a micro knock is something that literally knocks you off your daily path just a little bit, but enough to stop you and to make you start to think about things slightly differently. I'll give you an example. Perhaps you're just working away and you get an email from a client, depends on your relationship and what it is you do in work. In my line of field, I deal with lots of donors. So it could be an email that I get or one of my clients get. It could be a WhatsApp group from your friends or family or loved one. And it's just one of those things that you that somebody says something to you and you think, hang on a minute, hang on. And it really sort of is a bit like a cartoon pow that just knocks you off track. It could be something that we get digitally. It's probably something that we can get verbally when somebody says something to you and it just stops you in your track. And the thing with these micro knocks is, you know, I think we can cope with one or two, but once they start happening a lot and maybe from the same source, they can turn into something else and perhaps you can start on a little bit of a spiral, and then these are the sort of things that can start to keep you awake at night. So I'm quite interested to discover micro knocks and to find out what we can do to stop them getting too big.
With a micro knock though, Graham, first and foremost, would you say that you've ever had micro knocks, Graham? Surely everyone's had them.
Yeah, I think I get them all the time. I wonder why they seem to happen on a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. when you've got the whole weekend to think about it. I think they're quite dangerous, actually. They put you off course. I think with me, when I've got an expectation of something to, when I want something to happen or happen by a certain time in my mind, and it doesn't happen by that time, maybe because I've got high standards or whatever the situation might be, I sometimes think of a micro knock as when somebody hasn't actually got back to me. So they may not have actually said anything at all. It's almost like the silence can be a micro knock.
And can I ask, is that because sort of your mind starts filling in the blanks of 10 or 20 different possibilities of why they haven't got back to you? Do you think we overthink things?
Yeah, I think we do overthink it. I mean, sometimes I try and not think about it because I think, well, maybe it's just me. And I like to give something a bit of time before I react. And sometimes I find things happen in their own course. But what you're talking about, Ben, is when somebody has maybe said something to you that you've taken as an insult, or maybe someone's been rude to you, or especially on social media, when somebody might have written something and you've taken it the wrong way. The more of these things that you get, I suppose the harder it feels. It's not a nice thing.
You see, from what I'm listening here, I wonder whether or not there is a crossover between micro knocks and insecurities, because to me, I think it's very tricky to actually determine what constitutes as a micro knock, because I suspect that is something that someone has said to you that knocks your confidence in whatever you're doing. So let's just say you're in the middle of a really important project. You think the project's going really well. You're happy with how it's going. And then suddenly someone in your team says, oh, you're doing it that way, are you? And then bang, that just smacks you around the face, as it were, proverbially. And it's that moment there that could be constituted as a micro knock. Whereas if you're talking about trying to get a project done that you are worried that you haven't heard from somebody in the team because you've asked them to do something, maybe you've asked maybe a manager for an opinion on something and they haven't got back to you quite as quickly, and you start to think, oh, heck, what are they thinking? What are they going to do? What are they going to come back to me and say? That, I suspect, is probably more insecurity as opposed to a micro knock. Do you see? I mean, I'm not sure silence would constitute as that from what I've gathered.
Maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe there's a middle ground of where they both exist. I just know that from my own experience and talking to friends and to colleagues, and, you know, when you are asking them how they are and they're explaining what's going on, and usually people talk about, unfortunately, the negative things that goes on or what's really upset them. It is something that it's their instant reaction to something that's happened rather than a build-up of lots of things over a long time. So it's that one little thing that someone can say or do to you that can knock you off course, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this has come up in quite a few coaching sessions, and there's a number of different things that have come up. One of the things that have come up is how much you care. So whether you're working with a client or you're involved in something that you care about and you get a knock, it hurts you more. And if you don't really care, and somebody said something, you just brush it off. So that's one side. The other side is that a lot of us don't talk, so we hold things in. So we might get a knock that's affected us, and we don't talk about it. We don't discuss it with anyone, and then we get another one, and then we get another one, and they seem to build up. So the frustration builds up inside us. One of the main things that people talk to me about is money. If they're working on a project, they're short of cash flow, they, you know, perhaps need that business to come in at a time when they want it to come in because of their own finances. And then the client says, unfortunately, I don't really want to work with you at the moment. Let's leave it 3 months.
But is that a knock, or is that just budget constraints?
Well, it's probably a budget constraint for them, but it might be quite a severe knock, whether it's small or not. I think it just depends how you recover from it.
And I guess the problem with that is that, you know, being told no, even though what you said in that example, it's not a no full stop, it's a not at the moment, is the rejection that you can get. And that perhaps if you don't have resilience or what people call a thick skin, perhaps you may start to pick up other micro knocks or amplify these micro knocks and start to spiral down, which I know something called the spiral of negativity. I think it's a case of perhaps if you're told no, learning how to not that no sit with you. Graham, as you said, you know, why'd you get bad news or bad stuff on a Friday night? You know, absolutely. And so it's with you all day Saturday, it's all with you Sunday. And then on Monday, you find out that actually it wasn't as bad as you think. So perhaps there's things that we can be doing to not let those little knocks amplify.
Yeah, I mean, I had a session last week and this sort of came up. And the question was, how do I recover from it? It's probably learning a little bit more about yourself and what you're sensitive to, because we're all going to get knocks and we're going to get them regularly. I think we need to find our own formula as to how we can recover and how we can get back up from them. And it might be our own mental state. It could be that we are a particularly negative person. It might be that we're very analytical and we continuously read into things that may never actually be there. So I think it's understanding ourselves to see what we can do to recover.
That dreadful cliche where they say that, I know this sounds a wrong cliche to use, but bear with me, revenge is a dish best served cold. What that actually teaches us is that don't act in the heat of the moment. And I feel that micro knocks, the same could apply. It's not necessarily about getting revenge. It's, as you say, it's about recovering from them.
Revenge.
No, I know, but it's not necessarily about revenge. No, but it's not about revenge. What I mean is it's obviously much more about recovering from it and processing what's been said to you or what has been dealt to you that has knocked you off this proverbial course. So I would say that half the time I deal with things much better in the morning after I've had a good night's sleep. So you were saying, Graham, about how if you get a problem on a Friday evening, well, then obviously that's not the best time to get it because it's the end of the week. You're probably at your most tired. So why on earth would that make sense? And exactly the same way that when you say you come on a Monday morning and then actually it's probably not as bad as you first thought, that kind of proves that point, is because if we're mentally exhausted, that's probably got to be the first step, I would say anyway, in order to deal with this kind of upset.
Yeah, I mean, there's something called the power of the pause, which is what you're referring to. And it's sort of the middle ground where nothing exists. You know, it's good. Sometimes we react in the heat of the moment and maybe we should have waited. So one of the ways that I recover from micro-knocks, and we get them, I don't really talk about them that much. I sometimes think it's just me. I just like to wait. So I'll go out for a walk and take some fresh air in, or I'll just deal with something else and concentrate on something else until the idea comes into my mind as to how I really want to react to it.
I've learned, I've given you a good example of a micro knock I got this morning, actually, and I give you a good example of something that I've learned to do. It's sometimes I say to myself, if I've heard this, you know, if I've got a knock and it's been sitting with me all day, I think to myself, well, look, it's 10 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock at night now. There's nothing I can do about it now. I'm just going to park it and hopefully get a good night's sleep and deal with it in the morning. And as you say, when you're a bit fresher, I got a micro knock this morning, and it sounds funny and I'm laughing about it, but my reaction was really quite interesting. I posted on a Facebook group a reply to someone who was asking for some advice, some fundraising advice. And I went on back on an hour or so later to see if, you know, that person had liked my advice or, you know, if anyone else had commented so I could learn from that. And I got a message to say that I've actually been removed. My post has been removed by the administrator. And I felt really bad. I felt, you know, and that was sitting with me for a couple of hours, and I was thinking, gosh, well, am I going to be banned from the group? What have I done? But actually, I thought, you know what? It really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. I offered help. It wasn't wanted. I obviously did it in the wrong way. So let's just move on. But I can see that could then spiral and then self-doubt could start coming in. It could stop you from helping others because you don't want to give advice, because maybe you think, well, if you've been removed, if your post's been removed, maybe you don't want to start, you don't want to speak anymore to people because maybe they'll try and remove the words that you're saying.
But aren't words so dangerous? This is what's so peculiar. The difference between, and this is something that I get from working in radio, is the difference between the written word and the spoken word is absolutely extraordinary. You cannot punctuate words in an appropriate fashion within the written word. Yes, absolutely, you can punctuate it in terms of the English language, but you can never ever get your point across in quite the same way as if you were speaking to someone. And that's why I often believe that some people take certain messages, certain news, in a totally incorrect fashion that causes them to start building almost this resistance, this, how can I put it? It's almost like they build up this image in their mind of what the other person is trying to say to them rather than what they're actually trying to say to them. And that's why I get really sort of flustered almost whenever I see text message or email conversations. People need to talk still. That's why communication, wherever possible, whether it be via a platform such as Zoom or whether it be in person, remember that, it's considerably more important than email or text, I think.
And take that point, Phil. It's also how you read the message. So you might read that message with a certain amount of feeling, and the meaning of the message may not be exactly the way you're reading it. I mean, I used to have a rule. I brought this rule in many years ago where I used to get involved in email conversations and backwards and forwards, one email. And in the end, when people would email me, I'd just reply with a message saying, call me.
But if somebody emails me, call me, I think, what have I done? What have I done?
It's true. What have I done? Well, it's so true. Well,
but the thing is, you see, there's a number of reasons why you would think that, obviously, depending on what the situation is. But I used to just reply and say, call me. And maybe I wouldn't get a call or I would. But after three or four emails of being sent emails to me, when I say, call me, what tends to happen is people stop sending me emails and they start to call me. But what's changed in society now with all this time management and the electronic diaries is years ago, you could just call someone. Now you've got to send them an email and book in a time to call them, which frustrates the hell out of me. You know, what happened with just picking up the phone and phoning someone? Now you have to make an appointment to have a phone call.
And we went through all of that trouble of having mobile technology so we could call somebody whenever we want. Bring back answer phones. That's what I say. But okay, so now we've very much established what a micro-knock looks like, and what we do with them or how we react to them very much depends on the outcome. So let's look at that outcome. Let's establish the tools that we need to deal with. And we've already established that potentially one tool would be sleep, is a very important tool. Also, how to actually read and interpret something, maybe look at it with a fresh pair of eyes after a short time. You mentioned, Graham, about the pause mechanism. What else do we think are the tools we need to deal with them?
Well, I think that depending on the situation, if it's a professional knock and somebody is and what somebody has said to you has shaken you for some reason, I think that it's really good to have a resource, to not to hand, but a diary of your greatest hits of your career or successes that you have achieved, some sort of success journal. So whenever you are feeling slightly wobbly, if your professional view is being questioned on, you can just refer back to them and go, look, you know what? I know what I'm talking about. This person perhaps doesn't agree with it, but I've got a track record and I've done this work and I've been successful. So that's fine by me. So that's another thing that I could use. Would suggest to you.
Yeah. Look, you're not going to resonate with everybody. I love the success journal because I've got something very similar that I've filled with old photographs and past achievements that I'm proud of. And I look back and think, do you know what? You're actually you're okay. You know, you've done some good things. But I think one of the main ways to recover from micro knocks or any type of knock in life is to work on your own state of mind. I think we need to spend more time, less time scrolling through Instagram and Facebook and spending, you can spend an hour just scrolling through rubbish and you haven't really done anything to work on yourself. I think we need to start listening to some good positive material. There's plenty of positive material we can watch on YouTube and start feeding our minds with good stuff and starting to realize that actually we're a lot more powerful than we think we are. And there's a lot more possibilities to us. I think when your level of thinking is high and strong, these knocks become little bounces. They might come your way and just bounce off of you. And you think, you know what? Doesn't matter. I know, Phil, you work on this quite a lot.
Absolutely. I was going to say that in terms of resilience, one thing that is so important, because there's obviously this idea of this podcast is to talk a little bit about building resilience as well. And one of the most important things that you can do for resilience is not see how great, in inverted commas, other people are compared to you. And that's what social media does a lot of the time. If you are spending goodness knows how long, you say about withering away an hour, I mean, and then some for some people. But if you're going to spend that kind of time in front of social media, looking at individuals at their best, don't forget, no one is ever going to post on social media, or very rarely anyway, are they going to post themselves when they're at their most vulnerable. Highly unlikely will they do that. If you are going to do that, you're going to see how great other people's lives are without knowing the full background to what's led them to that post or that tweet or that Instagram or whatever it is. And what you're going to think is, oh my goodness me, my life is terrible. This is awful. What am I going to do? And that doesn't help resilience at all.
In order to build your resilience, you need to start working on yourselves. And one of the ways that you can do that is to work on who you are and what your attributes are, and how strong you are and how good you are at communicating with the people. And if there are skills that you need to learn, then you need to learn those. And by doing that, you can become stronger as an individual. And the stronger you are, the more resilient that you become.
I would agree with that. I also think that, and I don't know if you two agree, but experience is something that helps you. You learn from mistakes and you learn to weather the storm, perhaps, of these micro knocks. It doesn't mean that if you are young and inexperienced, you can't also have resilience. But I think there must be some truthfulness in the fact that, you know, the people talk about, oh, you know, they've been doing it for such a long time and they've developed a thick skin. I think that anybody's skin can be thick or thin. But I think that with experience, you learn more about yourself and more how to cope with these micro knocks.
I think one of the best ways of building up resilience, and something that I like to encourage as much as possible, is that we all need to talk. We need to talk more. We need to stop holding stuff in, especially men. You know, we just don't say anything. You know, we sort of joke around and have a bit of a laugh. But sometimes when you're sitting with your friends and you need to say, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine. No. How are you? How are you really? And start to talk about some things that are valuable to each other so we can get things off of our chest. And when we find that other people are experiencing the same things as us, you know, there's quite a bit of anxiety at the moment because of the lockdown and everything's a bit boring and it's very tough and there's new guidelines coming in and when's this going to end? And we need to talk. We need to, I would suggest getting a group of people together and allowing them to say what they feel inside, maybe with no boundaries. Maybe that's something we should do, Ben. Maybe we should do something, maybe a webinar or something, where we invite people on and they can talk about what's going on. And if that resonates with others, it's a good forum to start to build up that resilience.
Absolutely. And from those kind of no agenda or, you know, no politics with a small p, where people can just come together and talk. And people will talk. People, you know, people love to talk, particularly about themselves, if they are in a comfortable space. From that can not only come, you know, some resilience, but can come some potential great connections and the start of some relationships and perhaps some business opportunities as well. So I think that's an excellent idea. It'd be fantastic to create some sort of space where people can talk. And also, one of the most important things is, you know, we go through life without really knowing how we're doing compared to other people. Yes, that person may have a bigger car or a bigger house. You know, when you're back in school, how many did you get out of 10 in the French test or the math test? And as you get older, you don't have that metrics to compare yourself. So just to hear that other people are having good times or bad times or also struggle with some of the things that you struggle can be a fantastic thing.
And that's exactly why I say never judge someone else's life through the eyes of social media, because honestly, Correct. It is not accurate. Unfortunately, gentlemen, what is accurate is that we are now out of time. But just before we go, I suggest that we let the listener know where they can get in touch with us if they so wish. So, Ben, if anyone would like more information about you or what you do, where do they go?
Yeah, you can email me at ben@benmorrison.consulting, or you can find me on LinkedIn. All my information and contact details is there.
Graham, what do they do for you?
Yeah, you can actually find me on LinkedIn as well, under Graham Godfrey. You can visit my website, passionaboutbusiness.co.uk. I get plenty of emails after these podcasts, so you can email me at gg@passionaboutbusiness.co.uk in case you have any questions, there's anything you'd like to know.
And if you would like to get in touch with me for whatever ridiculous reason, you'll find me across social media at Mr. Phil Dave. Ben Morrison, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much indeed for joining Graham Godfrey and me, Phil Dave. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's been a pleasure having you, Ben.